It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Glad to be with you as we continue our examination of Satan's plan for a one-world Bible. You know, I want to thank each of you who have written this ministry, and also especially those of you who have been kind and gracious enough to send a love gift or tithes to the church. And that's what we are. We're Bible Home Church. We're not just a radio program. We are a church. Because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. And friends, we've got a lot more than two or three. We've got many, many hundreds or thousands listening to this radio program today. And you are part of the congregation. We want you to become an official, formal member even of a Bible Home Church. You can join our congregation and we'll put you on our membership rolls. And all you have to do is write to us. Let us know your name, your full name and your address. And let us know by profession of faith you'd like to become a member of Bible Home Church, and we'll write you back a letter and let you know that you're on our rolls. Now, I want to emphasize to you, of course, that it doesn't matter where you live, where you're at. Again, this is sort of an at-large church. Now, you can also just become a member of a local church. And if you can find one that's in your area that's Bible-based and is being true to the Word of God, well, I'm more than happy for you to become a member there. You might just want to become an associate member of Bible Home Church. Now, I can assure you of this. We will never, ever dun you for tithes and love gifts. I don't believe we've ever sent out a letter ever since we've organized and began operating as Bible Home Church. We've never sent out a letter asking for money. Never sent out a letter asking for money. You know, I do let you know on the air here on our radio program that we appreciate your help. We don't beg for money even here. But we don't call people particularly. You'll never have a phone call. A lot of people say, well, I'd like to join Bible Home Church, but I'm afraid the minute I call, they're gonna start phoning me, asking me for money. And, you probably had some bad experiences with churches in the past, or with ministries that just begin sending you form letters and advertising packages and begging you for money and sending you heart-rending stories and all that malarkey. Well, we don't do that here, my friends. I believe that the Holy Ghost will inspire you to give. I do. And I believe something else. I believe that Christian believers want to give, and they will give cheerfully. And I know it's a sacrifice sometime. It is. And that's why I appreciate so much. When someone gives to this ministry, I don't look at it as just one more dollar coming into the ministry. I see it as something very special, very special. And I'm a big believer in the fact that God rewards a cheerful giver. Now, there's a difference between the so-called prosperity gospel and just a simple doctrine that God rewards a cheerful giver. You see, there are many ways of rewards. The people that preach prosperity gospel, they tell you that when you give money to their ministry, you're planting a seed, and that it will grow, and God will give you 10, 30, 50, or 100 fold. And you'll become rich. The more you give, the more you get. In terms of money, carnal, material things. Well, I believe this is crass. It's ungodly. It's unscriptural. You see, the money you put into this ministry is not the seed. It is not the seed. It is a great help. It is a supplement to this ministry. It is a faithful way that you can support a ministry with an evangelistic message heard around the world. If you want to help missions, then help us. But I want to tell you something. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel because I believe there's more than one type of prosperity. You see, God may answer you in ways that you cannot imagine. There are people, believe it or not, those of you who are carnal-minded, there are people who are happy because they're joyous in Jesus Christ. And they've got harmonious, wonderful, peaceful relations with neighbors, with their own wife or husband, with their children, their teenagers, with their friends. And they're living lives of great joy. And they don't hardly have a dime. Don't have two nickels to rub together, as the old saying goes. But they have Jesus Christ, and they have a great fun time. And they're going to continue having it for all eternity. That's the nice thing. And there are people, and you know it, and I know it, with millions of dollars, and they're absolutely miserable. I'll never forget when I was a senior in high school, so many years ago, we read a poem. I don't know why they made us read it, but there was a poem about a man that seemed to have it all. Everybody in the town looked up to this gentleman. He owned most of the town, in fact. And when he walked by down the sidewalk in his fancy clothes, everybody stared at him and said, "That's the wealthy so-and-so. He's got it made." The last line of that poem goes like this. And then one day, he took a gun and shot himself in the head. That's the last verse of that poem. And that poem struck me for a long, long time. Everything is not as it appears, my friend. And all that glitters is not gold. So keep that in mind. When you give, God knows how to reward you. He does. He can reward you in terrific ways. It might be a healing of health that you need. It might be a sickness in the family. It might be somebody who keeps blowing up his or her temper at you. And by being faithful to God, God just controls that all of a sudden. I don't know what God will do in your life. It could be the best gift of all, which is salvation to a lost friend or loved one. It could just be peace. So many people are worried about the cares of this world, and God just gives them inner peace. And they're happy. And that is fantastic, my friends. Pray for that kind of gift. I'll tell you another gift, the gift of discernment. When you give to a ministry, it is very proper and acceptable for you to say, "Lord Jesus, I'm giving this gift to this ministry or this church, to your work. Would you give me in return more discernment, more wisdom?" I'm telling you, friends, you can't get too much wisdom. And that in itself is a great reward. You know, one of the things I've always asked God to give, in fact, I think God has understood that I wanted this more than anything. Now, I'm going to confess to you, this is something that I asked God about. And God knew this was the desire of my heart. I've always wanted to know about the mysteries of the Bible. There are many great mysteries that no one has ever fathomed in the Bible. And, I wanted to have at least a little bit of the mind of Christ. And I wanted to know something about those mysteries. And that's been my great desire. I'd rather know that than to have a mansion on a hill. It's just great fun getting in the Bible and suddenly, wow, a mystery is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. That's the most fun of all. That's a great joy. So you see, God knows how to reward His own. Let me tell you something. God knows how to give what I call negative rewards. Negative rewards. I recall a teenage girl went to my church and she was going with the worst fella. the worst fella in the world. Oh, she had a crush on that boy. She thought she was in love with him. And, you know, she'd come to church and pray, and because he didn't seem to care that much about her. And, you know, oh, Jesus, please give me this man that I want for my life. She never prayed that God would give her a man that was in his will. She wanted the man she had chosen for herself without any reference to God wanted. Well, you probably already guessed the end of this story. That man never really cottoned to that girl, as we say down here in East Texas. He never really went for her at all. In fact, he jilted her and went on to another gal, sort of a trashy gal. Gal didn't even go to church, didn't even believe in Jesus. The two ended up on heroin, pushing dope. He shot and killed two men. He's in prison today on death row. Now, as far as the young girl, I told you, she cried and she moaned because God didn't give her the love of her life, she thought. And it wasn't too long till suddenly another guy came into her life, a wonderful man. You see, after she lost lover number one, the guy that went on and jilted her and went into a life of crime, she changed her way of approaching God. This time she didn't pray for a specific fella that she had chosen. She said, Lord, would you choose somebody for me? Would you choose a mate for me? And you know, God knows how to make choices a lot better than us. And it wasn't too long till she had a guy, and he was just a jewel. He's treated her well. They've been married now about 12 years, I guess it has been. She couldn't be happier. And I told her, well, aren't you glad that God didn't give you the man you wanted? She says, well, yeah, he taught me a big lesson. You see, that was sort of a negative reward, wasn't it? He wouldn't give her what he knew was bad for her. So sometimes God knows how to give you rewards that even you cannot explain and you don't know. And it could be that you're asking God for something and it's bad for you. It's like poison. You don't even know it. And God doesn't give it to you. And you think God didn't answer your prayer. You see how foolish we can be. Well, we want to hear from you, my friends. And if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, again, I'm not going to phone you and ask you for money. But if you feel led by the Holy Spirit to give to this ministry, thank you for it. If you just like to comment on what you hear at Bible Home Church, you may not agree with me. I'd like to hear from you. Or maybe you want to encourage us in our ministry here. It's always great to hear from a friend who'd like to encourage us. And we like that. Please let us hear from you, whether you send us a love gift or not, or whether you want to join Bible Home Church. Now we have Johnny Ray Watson. We're going to have a nice song for you. And then after that, we're going to continue with part three of our series, Satan's Plan for a One World Bible. Johnny Ray Watson is singing, I Have Returned. Have you returned to the faith of your fathers, my friends? Well, if you have, or if you're considering doing it, you'll want to listen to what Johnny Ray has to say.
I have returned to the God of my childhood, to that same simple faith as a child I once knew, like the prodigal son. I long for my loved one, for the comfort of home and the God I outgrew. I have returned to the God of my childhood, Bethlehem's babe, the promised Messiah. Jesus to me, eternal deity, turned to the God of my mother with an unfailing faith for the child of her heart. She said, bring them up, son, in the way that you want them, and thank God when they're grown, they'll never depart. I have returned to the God of my mother. I learned at her knee, He's a lily of the valley. He sees us to me, eternal divinity. Oh, praise his name. I have returned.
Most godlike man.
A child could know. I just heard a shout from the angels in glory, just praising the Lord. A child has come home. I have returned to the Father of Abraham, the Shepherd of Moses, who called him the Great I Am. He sees us to me, O eternal deity. Oh, praise his name.
I have returned.
Oh, praise his name. I have returned.
And I want to refer you to that book. But let me give you some of the quotes from Vera Alder. First, she says that there will indeed be a New Age One World Bible. That's right. Now, how will this Bible come together? She says that there, of course, is going to have to be a World Spiritual Council to be set up. She says, quote, from all archaeological archives and the illuminations of modern science and discovery, a research panel will develop a new Bible of a world religion, which, says Alder, will be the basis of future education. A new Bible of a world religion. All the world's archaeological archives. That means, of course, supposedly, even the Holy Christian Bible, and the illuminations of modern science and discovery. And so a research panel will be set up and will develop a new Bible of a world religion, and the world will be educated from this new Bible of the new world religion. Then, in her book, Toward a World Religion for a New Age, Lola Davis, who regrettably was at one time a Christian, yes, a Christian missionary to India, but has now become a primary New Age theologian, she says that, yes, there will be a world Bible. All of the world scriptures can be synthesized and merged together to come up with a great Bible of the New Age. She says there are new writings being found that can be incorporated into this new Bible.
And I'm going to quote her. She says, quote, "In this century alone, religious data previously unavailable has been found. Among these are, one, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Two, Christian writings deleted from the Bible during the 4th century." Ooh. I think that's called the Westcott and Hart manuscript that's now found in the NIV and the New American Standard and the Revised Standard Version and all of these other false Bibles, friends. You see, they claim that whereas the Church of Antioch gave us the manuscript for the Bible, and we now have over 4,500 examples of that manuscript of the early church, Antioch, the same church that Paul was ordained from, that stream of manuscripts, my friend, was made into, finally, the translation of the King James Bible. But all of the new versions, practically all except for a couple, all of the new versions came from Alexandria in Egypt. And it is claimed that they came from the 2nd century. It is also claimed by the New Age authorities that the church in the 4th century excised, in other words, deleted such notions as reincarnation and karma. But if we can go back to the earlier manuscripts, they say, we will find those writings. And then we can put them back into this one world Bible. She says also in her book, quote, "Probably much of this knowledge from the past could be advantageously used in synthesizing the major religions to form a world religion for the New Age." Yes, this is it, my friends. This is absolutely what we see. That's why my good friend Joe Carr, in his book, The Lucifer Connection, says, "Most New Agers teach that the new will overcome the old by a gentle process of ecumenical unity and absorption of the religions into one another." Carr says, quote, "The new world religion will contain all the common elements of all religions." The new group of world servers, that's one of the groups founded by the Lucis Trust, states, quote, "We must change those aspects of religion which delay the full manifestation of planetary unit." Change the what? It's the King James Bible, friends, that they will change. Absolutely. A new theology, a new Bible for the New Age. Well, I want to go and keep teaching you today, friends, about this plan for this one world Bible. For example, let's look at what Vera Stanley Alder says about it. She says that the plan of the New Age will be worked out only if this Bible can be put together. She says, quote, "The ancient wisdom, as it existed in all the old civilizations, will be sifted, pieced together, correlated, and synthesized with the findings of modern scientists and the developments in religious fields." In other words, they'll go back to all the ancient mystery religions of Greece and Rome and Babylon, and they'll sift them and piece them all together, correlate them, synthesize them, that means merge them in with the findings of modern science and the developments in religious fields to come up with a one-world Bible. Is that why Miriam Starhawk, one of the world's most famous witches, who combined with Catholic priest Matthew Fox at Holy Names College in California to teach, yes, Catholic nuns and priests about the joys and the truths of witchcraft? That's right. I've exposed that, my friends, in much of my writings. She says, quote, "We need to create a religion of heretics who refuse to toe any ideological lines, who refuse to give their allegiance to any doctrine of exclusivity." Jesus is exclusive. The way, the truth, and the life. But the New World religion will not, I repeat, claim that Jesus is the exclusive way to salvation. Well, now here is what Vera Stanley Alter goes on to say about this New World religion and its Bible. She says a new divine plan or set of doctrines, now friends, that means scriptures, will, quote, "be given out to mankind in the form of a spiritual world teaching. it will enable all men gradually to vision the nature of God's plan for this earth. Remember, God is Lucifer in the New Age thinking. She says this new spiritual teaching will imbue mankind with a sense of purpose.
Oh, yes.
And then she says, quote, progressive simplification and unification will have taken place in the religious field. Finally will come the great Christ of the New Age. Here is the way Vera Stanley Alder in her book, When Humanity Comes of Age, as quoted in my book, Dark Secrets of the New Age, page 179, expresses this. Quote, there will thus be the spiritual cabinet of 12. He whom the Christians know as Christ, the Jews know as Messiah, and the Orient knows as Maitreya will head it. These will eventually be recognized as one and the same being. In this way, writes Alder, could a world religion develop quite naturally and in harmony with a world government. That's their plan. A world religion, a world government, a one world Bible, an atrocity. Lola Davis tells us about the knowledge that will be included in this one world Bible. Let me just read to you direct from her book. She says, quote, in this century, religious data previously unavailable has been found or released. Now remember, the new versions claim that they have found new archaeological discoveries, and that's why the changes for much of the new versions. The NIV has even admitted, if you'll recall, that they have used the Dead Sea Scrolls. So, Lola Davis continues. She says, among the previously unavailable data are the Dead Sea Scrolls, the vast treasures of religious writings found in the Patola in Tibet, Christian writings deleted from the Bible, sure, during the 4th century, writings of Teilhard de Chardin, and previously carefully guarded knowledge of the ancient wisdom.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.